It's time to listen to the interviews from Island Life on Saturday the 14th of November 2015. Island Life is Waiheke Radio's weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, and it's brought to you with the support of the Humble Pie Village Butchery. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Oniroa. On Saturday the 14th of November, Jan Velnisaroy talked to Miriam Lawler from Waiheke Living Without Violence, and he spoke to Tanya Aroa 20man, who is part of a group wanting to establish a Steiner school on the island.
Got Waiheke Living Without Violence manager Miriam Lawler here with me this morning. Good morning, Miriam.
Good morning, Jan.
So let's get right into it. You've got 16 days of action coming up from November the 25th to December the 10th.
We have indeed.
All related to Living Without Violence on Waiheke. So if you could tell us a little bit more about that, please.
Sure. So the traditionally on Waiheke we've celebrated White Ribbon Day, which is on the 25th of November. It tends to be a one-off event. We have our cooperation with the Waiheke Police, and people who have been on the island during White Ribbon Day will know that we have the guys ride from Charlie Farley's on the motorbikes and converge on the market. And White Ribbon Day is the 25th of November, although on Waiheke, because we want to maximise the exposure, we usually do it on the Saturday,
right,
whether that falls on the 25th or not. This year, what we've decided to do is, rather than host a one-off event, is to join the international campaign for 16 days of action.
Yep.
And the point of that is really to highlight not just domestic violence, but gendered violence generally.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts on White Ribbon Day and concludes on Human Rights Day. And the point of that is to highlight the way in which violence is actually an issue associated with human rights.
Sure, sure. And so you'll be fundraising during that time, won't you?
We will indeed. Yeah. The intention is that we'll have some form of action every day.
Uh-huh.
And we're starting on White Ribbon Day itself on the 25th with two activities. The first one is we'll be going into town to join the White Ribbon Day march that's being hosted in Auckland, and that starts at Queen Elizabeth Square at 11 o'clock. But we'll also be launching on that day an art installation called Behind Closed Doors.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be at the Waiheke Adult Learning Centre, mm-hmm, next to the library. We've got 12 local artists who have created a piece each, whether it's a painting or some sort of installation.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout those 16 days, each piece will be on display. They'll also be photographed, and we'll be producing a calendar that we'll sell to raise some funds.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really the kickoff of the event. I could probably go through every event, but that might be get a little bit boring.
That'll be fine.
I might just highlight the sort of significant events.
Sure.
On the Friday the 27th, we'll actually be down at the wharf. There'll actually be a visual display of stickers that represent each person on Waiheke who has been impacted by violence in the last 12 months.
Right, and how many stickers will there be?
There are hundreds of stickers. We'll be down there rattling buckets trying to raise money.
Mm-hmm.
There may or may not be a flash mob performance.
Wow, okay.
And then, of course, we've got our White Ribbon Day ride, which is on the Saturday the 28th.
Mm-hmm.
And this year we're really excited to be able to involve a whole host of men, not just motorbike riders, but mm-hmm, we've got bicycle riders and runners who will all be converging on the marketplace, where we'll have our usual White Ribbon Day ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big fundraisers that we're running is a movie night in conjunction with the Waiheke Community Cinema, and that's on Friday the 4th of December, and we're screening of an old film, a classic 1944 film called Gaslight. Mm-hmm. And the rationale for choosing that particular film is that there is a concept within the domestic violence field called gaslighting, and it's a form of domestic violence in which the perpetrator makes the victim feel like they're going mad.
Right.
Uh-huh. So we're going to have a brief introductory talk about the concept of gaslighting and play the film. In addition to that, we'll also throughout the campaign be launching a program that we're very proud of called Good for Staff, Good for Business. Mm-hmm. And it will be highlighting both the economic impact of domestic violence on businesses and their bottom line, but also how business owners can become, more protective of their staff and more supportive mm-hmm. of both staff and customers who might be experiencing domestic violence.
Right. Cool, cool.
And all of that will culminate on the 10th of December, which is a Thursday evening. We'll all be gathering on Little O Beach for a candlelight vigil. Mm-hmm. And that candlelight vigil is firstly to acknowledge those who over the years have died as a result of domestic violence, but it's also intended to honour Human Rights Day.
Sure, sure. Now, you talk about that acknowledgement and we talk about all those stickers representing mm. those people who have been affected by domestic violence in the past year. We think of Waiheke sometimes as quite a peaceful little place. Everybody's chilled out in the sun and the beaches and that sort of thing. But obviously there is, it does, domestic violence does happen here, doesn't it? And to what extent? How bad is it?
Ultimately our statistics show that the levels of domestic violence on Waiheke are equivalent to sometimes of the year higher than the statistics for the mainland. Mm-hmm. I've said in the past that Waiheke likes to have this image that it's all peace, love and mung beans, mm. but the reality is that there's a very dark underbelly of violence on Waiheke, and that takes the form not just of domestic violence, but violence amongst young people, violence in schools, as well as violence generally in the community. So, you know, we're certainly on par with the rest of New Zealand.
Does it get worse at certain times of the year? Yeah,
yeah, most definitely. Mm-hmm. We always know when there's been a big sporting event on mm-hmm. because when we come into work on Monday, we've got lots of notifications of violent incidences. It's particularly true when New Zealand is playing some international sport and loses. Mm-hmm. And it's particularly bad during the summer. And I think that's a result of not just the sort of local community, but the local community in close proximity with a lot of tourists.
Is there still a culture here in New Zealand, but on Waiheke particularly, of people turning a blind eye? Like if you hear your neighbours fighting or shouting, and do people just obviously just ignore it and say, oh yeah, that's their business, I don't want to get involved?
There's certainly a level, and I guess that's part of the reason that we've chosen this art installation behind closed doors. There is still very much a culture, both on Waiheke and across New Zealand, that what occurs in one's home is private, and people tend not to get involved. And one of the things that we'll be focused on during the 16 days of action is a constant dialogue about how people who are not personally impacted upon by domestic violence but are aware of friends or family members or neighbours who are experiencing it, how they can actually practically help.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. How can you practically help? If I say, for example, I hear my neighbours fighting, I hear the lady shrieking, I hear the man yelling, what do I do? At what point do I get involved? How do I get involved? Do I put myself into the situation? Because we often hear of, you know, violence being turned on the person who's getting involved. Do I ring the police? At what level do I start becoming involved?
There are a couple of things, I guess, that people can do. We certainly recommend calling the police, and we're very fortunate on Waiheke to have a police force that works closely with our organisation, so that the end result is that when police are called out to an incidence of family-based violence, our agency is also notified of that incident. Mm-hmm. And so what... unless it's an instance where the police turn up and somebody has been injured, generally what will occur is that the police will attempt to separate the parties, let them cool down, and then we'll come in a day or two later just offering support. And we offer that support to both victims and perpetrators.
Okay, okay.
So we don't recommend inserting yourself into a violent
sure.
situation.
Mm-hmm.
It can escalate and become quite a dangerous situation. But one of the other things that we also recommend is simply asking the question, are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't need to occur and probably not wise to occur during a violent incident. But if it's your neighbour and you regularly hear screaming and shouting and that sort of tension, just being able to say to the neighbour or friend or even family member, are you okay? And even, you know, you might not be ready to talk, but I'm always here to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Will often open up a space for somebody to share what's been going on for them.
Brilliant.
And then we don't expect or even encourage people to then become the person who has to deal with that.
Sure.
Simply saying there is support available mm-hmm. and referring them to our service.
Mm-hmm. And it's important to note as well that domestic violence just doesn't exist between two spouses, does it? It extends to, could extend to grandparents, children, you know, extended family members, and also pets.
Absolutely. And we see that quite a lot on Waiheke, that often the domestic violence that we're aware of extends well beyond the typical spouses. It can be between siblings, it can be between mothers and their children or fathers and their children, and it does involve pets. And one of the events that we're undertaking on the 6th of December is a family day down at the Blackpool Old School,
mm-hmm.
As part of the boot sale down there, and we'll be running a pet day, pet and family day,
mm-hmm.
and that's designed to highlight that pets are often the hidden victims of domestic violence. It's always a concern to us that statistically a quarter of people who leave domestic violence relationships will return to those relationships because they fear for the safety of their pet. And in addition to that, we have people on Waiheke that we know and we've been supporting for years who have remained in violent relationships because their primary anxiety is, if I leave, what will happen to my pet? What will the perpetrator do
mm-hmm.
to my dog or cat or other sort of pet?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so you're making a submission to the government, aren't you, as well, asking for a review of domestic violence laws, that animals are recognised in that?
Absolutely. So the government has recently conducted a submission process where individuals and organisations could make comment on the existing domestic violence laws.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we've highlighted is the lack of protection within New Zealand laws in relation to animals. So what we've asked is that threats to animals or violence towards animals be recognised as a form of domestic violence
mm-hmm.
because it's often used as a power mechanism
mm-hmm.
By the perpetrator against the victim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so over the 16 days... how do we describe it? It's a 16 days fortnight of action, is it? 16
yeah.
days of action?
16 days of action.
So you'll be looking to fundraise because you get about a third of your funding from the government, but you still need quite a lot more.
Absolutely. Yeah. So our organisation receives a grant from the Ministry of Social Development. We receive about $80,000 in government funding. But following up every incidence of violence, providing counselling to over 100 people a year and supporting about 250 people undertaking our group programs means that our costs are closer to about 200,000.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the only way that we can continue providing those services is by fundraising and inviting the community to support us.
Right, right. And if people want to find out more, do they go to the Living Without Violence Waiheke Facebook page? Is that right?
They can certainly go to the Facebook page. It's just Living Without Violence Waiheke Network.
Mm-hmm.
But we've also got a website. If you go to livingwithoutviolence.co.nz,
mm-hmm.
You'll find it under construction page at the moment. We're about to relaunch our website during the 16 Days of Action, and that will provide lots and lots of information and resources to people, whether they are people who are supporting victims or perpetrators, as well as information for those who are directly impacted.
Brilliant. Well, thank you very much, Miriam, for coming in this morning. That's Waiheke Living Without Violence Agency Manager Miriam Lawler, and there's 16 Days of Action from November 25th to the 10th of December here on Waiheke. And just go to those websites that Miriam mentioned to hear a bit more about, to find out a little bit more about what's going on. So thanks, Miriam.
Thanks, Cheers. John. Thanks.
You're listening to Waiheke Radio, 88.3 and 107.4 FM.
I've got in the studio with me this morning Tanya Aroha Twentyman, who is the co-project leader and a parent involved with the Steiner School here on Waiheke that the Steiner School project is trying to set up. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Jan.
So we understand that you've got planning as well underway for a new Steiner School on the island for primary age children.
That's right.
And you're looking for a new building, a new venue, either a temporary or long-term basis where you can host or situate that Steiner School. Before we get into that, I'd just like to talk a little bit about, for our listeners who may not know what a Steiner School is, could you just expand on perhaps what it is and what it isn't?
Yep. So Steiner Schools, often known as Waldorf Schools as well, they were founded in 1919 in Germany, and originally started at the Waldorf cigarette factory. So someone approached Rudolf Steiner, who is the founding the impulse behind this. He's an Austrian-born educator, a scientist and a philosopher, and an amazing person who came up with a whole lot of different ideas around how education, health and farming. So a lot of people know of biodynamic farming.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of his impulses behind that. So he was approached to come up with an education for the children of the parents in this Waldorf cigarette factory, which kind of seems a bit weird, cigarette factory, but and he did. And from that very point in time, the surgence happened of Waldorf schools, or Steiner schools as they're known, sort of both around the world. So now in the world we have over 1,000 schools and kindies.
Mm-hmm.
And in New Zealand alone we have over 3,000 children attending primary schools or early childhood
mm-hmm,
centres.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and how does it differ from your mainstream school, your normal school that you'd go to?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we refer to it as holistic education. So mm-hmm. it's an education that looks at the head, the heart and the hands. So it sees the child as a whole being. So it's not an education that just stimulates the intellect. It's always looking at the whole child. And Steiner had a very deep understanding of the development of the human being. So the education approaches the child in these three sort of 7-year stages, and the curriculum is based that it meets the child with the challenges that the child is going through at that stage. It's a well-rounded education. It has a very strong artistic impulse. So it's always looking at bringing a creativity into the curriculum and how to bring maths alive or bring reading alive. It's not taught in a dry way. It's really brought to life for the child with the aim that you engage the whole child again, not just the intellect but the feelings and the body. So some subjects, for instance, may seem a bit old-fashioned, but the children will be stamping, clapping, moving their bodies as they're doing their times tables and that kind of thing. Technology is not introduced till later on in a Steiner school,
mm-hmm.
Because of the fact that we want the children to be very hands-on in their learning and very engaged with the world around them.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So on Waiheke, we really can see we've got an opportunity to embrace this beautiful island that we live on. And we will have a very strong impulse towards the outdoor classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so
mm-hmm.
getting children really in nature, learning from amazing tradespeople that we have on the island, so real-world learning, like mm-hmm. the classroom, kind of taking the classroom out of this, you know, conventional kind of box to what else can it be? How do we learn from our environment? How do we look after our environment?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yep.
So just a little bit of a history about Steiner School on Waiheke there. There was once an effort to get a Steiner School up quite a few years ago, you were saying?
Yeah.
Yep.
So there once was a Steiner School on mm-hmm. the land where the current Fossil Bay Kindergarten is, which is our local Steiner Kindergarten. It's been in operation for 20 years. We did have a fledgling school there many years ago, and basically the school didn't continue in operation because there were some compliance things that needed to be brought up to date, and it came down to a financial decision, you know, that was just going to be too costly to get that going.
Mm-hmm.
Where you choose to put a school, you know, you need to be quite clever about that, because schools have got a lot of sort of legislation around. You can't just plonk a school in the middle of a suburban area. You know, the schools create a lot of noise and traffic, so there needs to be this process to go through with the council, you know. So that's one of the things, I guess, that has been a little bit of a stumbling block with us finding a venue. Yeah. If we could just like open up somewhere tomorrow, we would have done it, you know.
So have you guys sort of learnt from those past mistakes of that previous Steiner School? Are you more financially in a position now, or are you just a bit more aware of where you can and can't put a school?
Well, definitely more aware, and I think some things just have their time, and mm-hmm. we can see there's a real surge coming through again now. I mean, I've often likened it to a wave coming through. You know, I've got parents that have got children at Fossil Bay that are ready to start looking where are they going to go for their education. And we're sort of making the most of that wave. And also I think we have some really savvy people on our project management mm-hmm. team. We've spoken to, there's a full Steiner school in Ellerslie, Michael Park School. They run from kindergarten all the way through to the end of high school. We've had various meetings with them, and they're very supportive of our project here on Waiheke. And there could be an opportunity later on to work as a satellite school under their umbrella.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's really, really positive, because that makes a big difference to the finances of the school if you're getting funding.
Sure, sure. With the existing kindergarten at Fossil Bay, is there no room at all there to put a school or to extend onto that kindergarten? And
No, not at present.
Okay, so that won't work.
Yeah.
Cool.
You're trying to problem solve.
Yeah, exactly. Live on air.
Yeah.
So if you can just also talk about, there was talk earlier in the year about a green school, so this was part of that?
Yep, that's a good question. So we've been working on this project for over a year now with community meetings and that kind of thing. And we do have a parent in our community that had, we've got two parents in our community that have visited the green school in Bali. It's mm-hmm. an amazing school. They've brought back photos and it is amazing too, because they've got this, you know, this environment there that means you've got birds like flying through your classroom windows and stuff. You know, the buildings are made out of bamboo. So it's, you know, it works because of where it is as well, partly. But anyway, with this big commitment to this green philosophy. So when we first started out, with a very open plate, or you could say, or palette of like, okay, so what colours are we going to paint in here? What's this thing going to look like? We know we want something different, but what is that different thing that we want? And we worked with that thing of, is it a green school or not? And what we decided to do in the end was we actually formulated a survey and sent it out to all our parents and asked them to answer the questions, and it came back in that survey that they really wanted a Steiner school. And I often say to people, you know, a Steiner school is a green school. It's mm-hmm. not two separate things. It's not a green school as in the Bali green school, but, you know, as I mentioned before, Rudolf Steiner came up with biodynamic farming, and in the education everywhere is about teaching the children this reverence for nature and the world around them, and then the wider world, you know, as they grow up. So it's a really important part of the curriculum and the school. So it's one part in a wider curriculum that also values the arts and the creativity and, you know, thinking outside the square and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about funding? So are Steiner schools government funded, or is it all fully private and done by the parents?
How does that work?
Yeah, how does it work?
So both mm-hmm. things. We have schools in New Zealand that do receive funding from the Ministry of Ed, and there are Steiner schools also that don't. So it really depends on where the school is. If the government has a need for schooling in that area, you can enter into a conversation with the ministry and see where that goes as far as, yes, we'll give funding towards that school, which is what they call an integrated school.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Catholic integrated schools and various other, it's not just for Steiner schools.
So Steiner schools essentially have got the sort of stamp of approval that they're okay from the government. Yeah.
That's right. And that's another reason why a lot of parents came back and said, actually, we want a Steiner school, because the curriculum's tried and tested. You know, there's been many years now of children going all the way through, coming out. A lot of them go on to university. They say of Steiner children, when they get to university, they can often spot them. They're very self-directed learners. They know what they want. They often finish the courses that they've started. So there's this kind of end result, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
And that helps parents in making that decision, mm-hmm. because it's something that, you know, is known to them. And also to rewrite a curriculum's huge.
Indeed.
It's really big. So.
So how many children each year go through the kindergarten?
Each year?
Yeah.
Well, that's a difficult question. I don't actually know the figures on the top of my head. But I can tell you that we've got two kindergarten classes that have got 4 to 6-year-olds in them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a we'll call it a nursery group, and that's 3 to 4-year-olds. So they normally start there. And in that class is sort of, I think the most they would have in that class is about 12 of the little ones.
Uh-huh.
And then there's 15 to 17 in both the other classes.
Right.
But because you've got a variation of children, some parents choose to send the children to school at 5. So mm-hmm. you'll have this natural attrition from the kindergarten. Some keep them at kindy till they're 6.
Sure.
And a lot of those parents then choose to homeschool, or, you know, are looking for different kind of things for their...
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. So in Waiheke, once they finish that kindergarten, they're above kindergarten age now, so the options are for them to either fit into the mainstream mm-hmm. school cycle, homeschool, or go to town to Michael Park College, as you mentioned, in Ellerslie, but that's quite a big distance.
It's a long way for a little one mm-hmm. to go, mm-hmm. yeah. Some parents choose to keep them here on the island, and then once they're old enough for them, you know, sort of you're talking high school years, to travel over to the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what about teachers, attracting teachers to Waiheke?
I always make this joke, like, we won't have any trouble getting teachers. It's such a beautiful place. Everyone wants to come and live on Waiheke. And we have had some teachers approach us already saying, I hear that you've got, you know, this project going and I'd love to come and teach. Obviously, it would be a process we'd need to go through professionally, and, you know, it would be a formal process of teachers applying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There is a shortage of Steiner trained teachers. So a Steiner teacher has their state training, and then they have the option to go and do AUT actually has some Steiner papers that they can do, or otherwise there's a college of called Taruna College down in Hastings, and you can do extra study down there to get your Steiner accreditation.
Okay, so this is the land that you're looking for on Waiheke. Are there any prerequisites, sort of, you know, in terms of size, in terms of already facilities already there, septic tanks you mentioned before and that sort of thing? What exactly are you looking for, in case somebody's listening, they can help you out?
So we've got a two-phase approach to our project, and first of all we just want to get something going, and this thing of, like we've often said, we have the enthusiasm, we have the children, now we just need to find a home. So our temporary location could look a little bit different from our long-term location. Long-term, we really imagine having a beautiful farm-like school where we can really embrace this thing of the children being in the outdoors, learning, hands-on learning, all those kind of concepts that are much easier to do on a big piece of land. In the short term, we've actually put in an application to the local board for use of one of their buildings. And that's a little bit of a process, because there are a lot of community groups that obviously want a piece of the pie, and everyone wants to use the building. And how can they get groups together that can work together and share some of these resources that they have in buildings? So that process is still in process. And in the meantime, we feel that we need to keep our options open and look around for something else, because it could take some time if it's a yes, you know, so it's a bit. So ideally our short term would be probably somewhere reasonably handy to town for people to travel. I've discovered coming over to Waiheke that Waiheke people don't like travelling. Yeah. And in Auckland everything takes you at least an hour, but here it's like 10 minutes is, you know, only tingy's the end of the earth. But I mean, we're flexible on that. Ideally something with some facilities on it, so toilets or buildings or, you know, and some outdoor green space.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like I mentioned, the big things that the council look at when you're applying for a resource consent is traffic, so and noise.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we'd need somewhere where we could, parking is easy.
Mm-hmm.
Neighbours aren't going to get upset by a whole lot of noise. So, you know, again, it needs to go through this formal process of applying to the council for a resource consent. So because that is a process of time but not also expense, we don't just want to put ourselves somewhere for 3 months.
Sure.
We need to be somewhere that's 2 to 5 years, because it's quite a costly investment. Mm-hmm. And you don't want to be up and moving again.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
Good as gold. Now, if someone does have some ideas for you, or they want to find out a little bit more about Steiner Schooling on Waiheke, yeah. How do they get in touch with your group?
Yeah, so we've got a website, which is waiheke.steiner.school.nz. We've also got a Facebook page, and our email address is on the website, so they can contact us through that.
Brilliant. Yeah. So that's waiheke.steiner.school.nz. If you know of anywhere that potentially Steiner School could go, or you just want to find out a little bit more information about what a Steiner School does. Well, thank you very much for coming in this morning, Tania. That's Tania Aroha 20 Man, who's a co-project leader and parent of Steiner Education on Waiheke. Cheers.
You've been listening to the interviews from Island Life, a weekly look at Waiheke people, events and issues, every Saturday morning from 10 till 12, with interviews repeated on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. Island Life is brought to you by The Village Butchery, the place to go for great cuts of meat and friendly service. You'll find them at 102 Ocean View Road, Onirua.